Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In today's program, I would like to look at AD 70 and the destruction of Jerusalem, the exile of the Jews from the land, and how that all came about spiritually in the nation of Israel. I covered this topic briefly a number of years ago in a program that I did called Masada. That was program 218. But I want to cover this subject again. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, to write the same thing again is no trouble for me, and it's a safeguard for you. Philippians 3:1. And then Paul goes on to explain, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. False circumcision are those who say they're Jews, God's people, and are not, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9. Now, this subject of the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD is vitally important to the Christian faith. I can't see how any Christian can be biblically educated and wise in political activism if he has not first thoroughly studied the biblical account of the fall of Jerusalem. And if he has not thoroughly studied how the Jewish zealots brought the wrath of Rome down upon their own nation by their protests, by their freedom fighting, and by their give me liberty, give me death rhetoric. Josephus, the first century historian who wrote an extensive history on this event, wrote the following about the fall of Jerusalem. It was a seditious temper of our own people that destroyed our nation, and that they were the tyrants among the Jews who brought the Roman power upon us, who unwillingly attacked us, and occasioned the burning of our holy temple. You see, it was the Jews themselves, by their rebellion against the yoke of God, that resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem and the 1900-year diaspora, the dispersion of the Jews throughout the world. You know, we like to blame everyone else for the trials and the troubles that come into our lives, but it's usually our own doing. Our own apostasies will reprove us, Jeremiah 2:19. And if you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your troubles, you wouldn't be able to sit for a month. That's a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. Nevertheless, the reason for the destruction of Jerusalem is a major theme in the New Testament. And you might know much about the Bible, but if you miss this lesson, you're missing a big one. So let's start with some texts of Scripture. The first text would be from Jeremiah and Daniel, to explain why the Jews were under the authority of Rome in the first place. If you don't know the prophecy that the Jews were ordained of God to be under Rome, then you might assume that the Jewish freedom fighters had some justification for throwing off the Roman occupation. You see, those Jewish zealots thought that they were overthrowing their oppressors, even as the judges did in the biblical book of Judges, where Gideon overthrew the Midianite occupation, and Jephthah overthrew the Ammonite occupation, and Samson overthrew the Philistine occupation. But in the case of Rome, God did not call Israel to overthrow their occupiers. And this all started in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, when God sent the first destruction on Jerusalem and the first exile of the Jews back in 586 BC. Jeremiah 27:8. It will be that the nation or the kingdom which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with a sword, with famine, with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have destroyed it by his hand. But as for you, do not listen to the prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you in order to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out and you will perish. So, contrary to the message of the false prophets, that Israel should fight against Babylon for freedom, God tells the Jews that the Babylonian conquest was his will. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, they were to seek the welfare of Babylon. Now, one might assume that after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, the Jews would then be free to establish an independent Jewish state. But the prophecy was that God was going to keep them under the dominion of foreign nations until the coming of the Messiah. The prophet Daniel prophesied that after Babylon, three more empires would arise from the earth and God would give them dominion: Persia, Greece, and Rome. Daniel chapter 7. And it wasn't until the Ancient of Days, the Messiah arrives, that these empires, these beasts would be destroyed. And the dominion and the greatness of all of these kingdoms under the whole heavens will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. Now, it seems as though there were some Jews in the first century who understood these prophecies and believed that the Jews need to wait on the coming of the Messiah for their deliverance. But the majority of Israel in the first century, the political activists called the Zealots, were teaching that God helps those who help themselves. They believed that it was their responsibility to overthrow the Roman occupation, and then God would bless them. That God would bless them only if they took action and if they stood up for an independent Jewish state. Now, the big lesson here is that the people fail to follow the scriptures. The very same reason they missed the Messiah. And our failure to follow the scripture is our downfall. But I want you to notice the subtlety of it all. The Zealots claimed that they were following the scriptures, but they were taking selective texts out of context to support what they wanted to do. They would go to such texts such as Micah 5, which reads, "Gather yourself in troops, daughters of troops. They have laid siege against us." And in verse 5, "When the Assyrians invade our land, when he tramples our citadels, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men, and they will shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword. And he will deliver us from the Assyrians when he attacks our land and when he tramples our territories." So you see, it was easy for these Zealots to take such texts to mean that we need to stand up for our rights. And once we step out by faith, then God will help us. Josephus writes about these political agitators. "These were such men as deceived and deluded the people under the pretense of divine inspiration. But they were for procuring changes of the government. And these prevailed with the multitude to act like madmen and went before them into the wilderness as pretending that God would there show them a sign of liberty." But let me say further here. Beyond not following the words of the Old Testament prophets and twisting the words of the Old Testament prophets, the Jews were not heeding the words of Jesus, who came and taught the Jewish people for 3.5 years, AD 30 to 33. And what did Jesus teach? That if the Roman soldier compels you to carry his supplies for 1 mile, you're to carry it for 2 miles. Matthew 5:41. And to love your enemies and to do good to your enemies. Matthew 5:43. And to render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Pay your taxes. But what did the Zealots do? They threw rocks at the Romans. They protested. They assassinated Roman soldiers. They instituted a tax revolt against Rome. And if they would have listened to Jesus, they would have known that any rebellion against Rome was going to end in defeat. And in Luke 19:43, Jesus said, "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." So where were all the Christians when Jerusalem fell to the Romans? Remember, there was the church at Jerusalem with the apostles. James was the pastor. Well, Josephus writes that the Christians followed some prophecy and fled to Petra in Jordan before the Roman armies surrounded Judea and Jerusalem. What prophecy might the Christians have been following? Luke chapter 21, verse 19. Jesus said, "By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city." Well, the Christians knew these words of the Messiah, and they obeyed. The political leaders of the Jews, the parties of the Zealots, the majority of the Jews didn't heed the words of the Lord. Just like the majority of the Jews coming out of Egypt didn't heed the word of Moses. And the Israelites didn't heed the words of the prophets. But somebody might say, how were they to know Jesus' words were true? Well, because messianic miracles were done by Jesus to confirm his messiahship. And because the message of repentance and holiness should have touched their hearts. But no, they were filled with self-righteousness and pride, and so the message of Jesus didn't ring true for them. And this was God testing their hearts. So if you don't get anything else from this program today, get this. Obey the scriptures. Obey them to the letter. Don't think that you're some sort of exception. Don't think that God's word is negotiable. Don't think that the word of God is simply some suggestions. God means what he says. Now, in the remainder of this program, I want to look at one more spiritual truth that we can glean from the fall of Jerusalem. And that is how unbelievers walk into their own judgment. The first lesson would be the importance of heeding the word of God, the prophecy of scripture. The second lesson would be how one's own unbelief and rebellion leads one to make fatal choices. God doesn't have to judge the rebellious with lightning from heaven. All God has to do is leave you to your own choices, and you will walk right into the pit that you dig for yourself. So please keep this in mind as you see immorality, greed, idolatry proliferating in our own country. What's happening is that unbelievers are setting themselves up for destruction. And so rather than being angry, we need to have pity on the lost, like Jesus did. When Jesus was going to the cross, he said to the Jews, "Weep for yourselves and for your children, because of the judgment that was about to fall upon the Jewish nation for the rejection of the Messiah. You will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" Luke 23:30. And this is a timeless lesson that the Christian community needs to appreciate, especially in our day. When Christians are persecuted, when our social leaders are turning our nation into Sodom and Gomorrah, remember, the worst judgment will come upon our persecutors than will ever come upon us. There's never been a nation that has persecuted God's people and has ignored God's law that has not suffered for it 100 times as great. 1 Peter 4:17. If judging or purging must first begin with the household of God, what do you think will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? This doesn't call for our delight. This calls for our sorrow and our pity. Now, the Jewish historian Josephus gives us the only complete account of the Jewish revolt against Rome. And this was God's providence that this man, Josephus, would record an account for all future Jewish generations. And it's very difficult reading, over 600 pages, 0.8 font. We can't even begin here to look at the text. But let me give you a brief summary. The main point Josephus makes is that there arose a spirit of rebellion among the Jews from about 7 AD to 30 AD. There was relative peace with Rome. The Jews were content. But right after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, there was this growing restlessness and dissatisfaction with the Roman occupation. And there were these freedom fighters, the Zealots, stirring the Jews up to rebellion. They were promoting the typical propaganda of all revolutionists, that the reason for all of your problems is the current government, but once the government is overthrown, life will be grand. This was the same rant of the Jacobins in the French Revolution, the Bolsheviks in the Communist Revolution, the Communist Chinese in the Mao Zedong Revolution. But there is a spiritual dimension to this anti-Roman movement in Israel. It was really a search for meaning and purpose on the part of the Jews. Because once the nation rejected the messianic prophecies and Jesus, it created a moral vacuum. It created a vacuum of purpose for the Jews. And so the Jews sought for deliverance from some other source. Political human deliverance. And this is what Jesus foretold would happen. John chapter 5, verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. They will receive one who will come with his own authority, his own self-authentication, rather than heeding the prophetic testimony of Jesus. And this applies to all unbelievers today, in that they reject personal salvation from sin offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will inevitably seek deliverance from some other source. Because everyone needs deliverance. Everyone needs a transcendent purpose for living. And so unbelievers will find some other God to substitute for the true God. Someone, something to provide for them all the promises of heaven. Even though it's a lie. And they will seek deliverance from either New Age spirituality or alternative medicine or yoga or communism or socialism or globalism. They will seek some purpose in life through the global warming movement, through saving the whales, through LGBT rights. Everyone needs a purpose. Everyone needs a savior. And if you don't accept the true Christ, you will embrace some form of antichrist. And that choice of a false savior will be your undoing. And that's the big lesson of AD 70. So, the way the Jews destroyed their nation was by holding to a theology that political deliverance was the answer, that God would have them gain freedom by fighting the Roman Empire. And so the Jews would sporadically attack Roman troops. They would protest. They would throw stones at Roman officials. The Romans would respond with force. Jews would be killed. And that would inflame the Jews all the more to fight against Rome. After all, look what the Romans are doing to us. Even though the Jews started the conflict, and this back and forth retaliation began to grow. At one point in AD 66, the Jews engaged in a tax revolt against Rome. So Florius, the governor at that time, raided the Jewish temple to get treasures from the temple to pay for the back taxes. This sent the Jews into more rebellion. The Jews in Jerusalem overran the Roman garrison. The Romans responded by sending down the Syrian legion of about 30,000 troops, and they overran many Jewish towns. They put many of the rebels to death. But at the Battle of Beth Horon, the Judean Jewish rebels defeated the Roman legions. And historically, this was considered the worst defeat of the Roman Empire by a rebel province. But this was actually bad news for the Jews, because that initial victory inspired the Jews to want to fight all the more against Rome, because they thought now they could overthrow Rome. Beth Horon gave them a false hope. Nero appointed the general Vespasian to crush the rebellion in Judea with two legions. They landed in Ptolemais in April of 67, which is a port in northern Galilee, and the Roman army quickly subdued all of the towns of Galilee. The zealots in Galilee fled for refuge to Jerusalem, and this is where Jewish infighting between the various zealot factions began to take place. So not only were the Romans fighting the Jews, but the Jews were killing Jews. And the zealots were putting to death any Jew who would not support the rebellion. Also at this time, there was turmoil in Rome. Rome was involved in its own civil war. There were four emperors in 1 year. Vespasian had to go back to Rome to settle the disturbance there, and he left his son Titus to finish the job in Judea. But the Jews thought that this turmoil in Rome was a sign from God that Rome would collapse. And again, this was a mistake in determining the will of God by one's circumstances rather than by the scriptures. So eventually, the Romans surrounded Jerusalem in a 7-month siege. The Romans eventually broke through. Josephus records over 1 million Jews died in Jerusalem, not just as a result of the war, but also from famine. But even that was not the end. There were two more Jewish revolts that finally sent the Jews into the diaspora. You had the first Jewish revolt in 66 to 70, then the Kittos Wars from 115 to 117, and then the Bar Kokhba Revolution from 132 to 136, where the Romans finally banned Judaism and renamed Judea Palestina. See, in that final rebellion, the Jews thought that they became more obedient to the rabbinical law, and if they tried once more to rebel against Rome, God would help them. But remember Jesus' final words to Israel. You will not see me again until you say, blessed is he, the Messiah, who comes in the name of the Lord. And so also all people. Jesus said, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website to listen to this program again or to download it is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, it is an evil and a bitter thing to forsake the Lord our God. We run back to you in faith and repentance, receiving your Son as our only Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.